CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to, and that's right, Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you, as we always are. And again, if you've got a question about the Bible, from the Bible, we want to be sure to talk about that and any other questions that you might have. Because again, it's important that we all as Christians have a good Christian worldview of what's going on. And so if you've got a question, you've been reading your Bible, please give us a call. We'll do our very best to answer that. Joining me today, we have with us Daryl Skinner, one of our featured CSN speakers on In the Morning Time, A Chosen Generation. Hi, and welcome, Daryl.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all listeners out there. Great to be with you once again. Looking forward to the excellent questions that come in from the listeners, and always very encouraged to see people wanting to grow in their faith, to be blessed of the Lord, to learn the entire Bible, the Word of God, and what's happening, especially in these last days, as the Lord is coming very, very soon. The rapture could take place even today, which would be a wonderful thing, but it's good to be with you, Mike. Looking forward to what God has for us today.
Amen. And again, Daryl, I'm so glad that you've taken time from your busy schedule to come and be on the radio normally on Thursdays, but filling in today. And so I'm so glad you are, and look forward. Are you doing the program tomorrow?
As far as I know, yes.
Wow. I get you two days in a row.
2 days in a row. Yeah. Wow. I kind of missed last week and a little bit of the week before. It was did a family vacation to Nashville, Tennessee, to see my family, who's moved from Southern California to Nashville, and then see my daughter and grandkids and her husband, Josh. And we just had a great time together, getting everyone together. It's just so much fun to celebrate Thanksgiving together as a family, or be Christmas. And so we had Thanksgiving together. It's been a while since we've done that. So it was a great time together. A little bit colder over there than Hawaii. Yeah. We had 30 degrees out over there. But it's good to be back in Hawaii right now. It's 82 degrees, so we're my wife and I are rejoicing.
Amen. And for those that are out, especially holidays, if you come to Hawaii, and certainly if you come to Oahu, Honolulu, I know Daryl would love to see you in his fellowship. Amen. Again, Daryl is the pastor of Calvary Chapel there in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. So, Daryl, very quickly, what's going on there, and how do we find your church?
Well, hey, we're right in this. Actually, we used to be in Pearl Harbor itself, and then we moved to the center of the island. The Lord has been blessing just tremendously. All glory goes to Him. But we have our services on 8:30 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings. I'm going to be giving some special messages regarding Christmas coming up as we approach that beautiful day and then celebration in time about the birth of our Savior. And then we also have a very special and fun Christmas play we're going to be having here at our church. It'll be on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, right before Christmas Day. And that's the 22nd, 23rd, 24th. Each time will be at 6 o'clock. That'll be the musical performance. It's called Willy Wonka's Mele Kalikimaka. So we have a little spinoff on the series of the original Willy Wonka, and it's going to be a play and a musical, and we're going to be celebrating the Christmas Hawaii style. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. We got a lot of great characters in it, and it's just going to be a blast. And the message of salvation will surely be there, and the Christmas message, of course. So we always encourage everyone, it's absolutely free. Invite your unsaved family and friends. You'll be super blessed. You have a great time together with us. So it's Willy Wonka's Mele Kalikimaka on the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and it'll be at 6 o'clock. So we're looking forward to that. A lot of fun times.
Yes, or Willy Wonka and the peppermint coconut candy cane.
It works for me.
It works. Hey, let's go to the phones. 8888, ask the Ascends. The number to call if you want to be part of the program. We got some lines open if you want to join us. Let's go to Wendy in Elma, Washington. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, Mike. I'm calling because I listened to Jen Markell on Saturday, and Billy Crone was on there talking about the Freemasons and all that stuff. And it reminded me that back in the 70s, when I was 14 years old, I joined the Rainbow Girls. There was an, you know, a group in my little small town. That's just what everybody did. And I remembered and found that I actually have a Bible they had given me at that time, all those years ago, and it has my name stamped on it. So I just kept it as a, you know, how you keep fake stuff.
Sure.
And then listening to that program, I thought, should I get rid of that? Is I know this might sound silly, but I don't want something in my home that is affiliated with the Freemasons.
Well, the Bible's the Bible. And there's many different publishers and many different people who have given them away. So there's nothing wrong with God's word, providing that it hasn't been altered, changed, or deleted. So I think those are really important things. Now, the problem, of course, with Freemasonry is the elementary levels are not and do not come across as anything devious. It's when you start getting into the upper levels, 27th level and on. This is where you get into some very weird oaths that they take. And this is what is quite scary when you really begin to understand what this is really about. Now, again, Jan Markell, I believe, did her homework well on this. And so the introductory level, like Rainbow Girls, Job's Daughters, etc., these things are things that kind of integrate them into society. It becomes kind of a benign point that, oh, yeah, they're just another organization. Well, again, in the lower levels, I believe that's probably true. But when you get into the upper levels, this is where the problems come in. Daryl, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, Freemasonry, they tried to do a lot of good works, and that's how they really developed their sense of salvation and the good works. But as Mike shared, as you go further and deeper into the organization, there's many practices and oaths that you'll have to take that are ungodly and not right. They refer to a supreme being, if I remember correctly, as the supreme being, which is, you know, they basically will conglomerate all religions at that statement of supreme being, where we know God as Yahweh and his son Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so the emphasis is not necessarily on salvation, but really on good works, which the Bible, we know that we cannot be saved by good works. We're saved by being born again of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, he tells us this, he tells it to a religious man. Now, the book itself, the Bible itself, I don't know. I've not read it. I'm not familiar with it. There's two ways you can look at it. You can just throw it away, be done with it, or you can look and see what might be in some things that are stated within it, which gives you the opportunity to do your research so that you can share with other people in Freemasonry where it is wrong. And so that's it could be a resource, a piece of resource for you. So those are two ideas for you to determine for yourself. I don't have one of those. I've not looked at one. But years ago, we did do a complete article on Freemasonry and the 32nd degree Mason and so forth. And it's, it gets very demonic towards the higher echelons as you go. And it's not biblical whatsoever. Mike?
Yeah. Now, very quickly, Wendy, is this a book, is it just the Bible or is it also their creeds and doctrines and things?
As far as I know, it's just the Bible. Quite frankly, I've had it for, you know, I'm 65 years old, and I got it when I was 14. And the writing is so tiny in it, I probably couldn't read anything in it if I wanted to. But, you know, I'm a long-time born-again Christian, so I don't, you know, like I said, I just kept it for the childhood memory, I guess. But if it's something bad, I don't want it in my home, but I felt weird about throwing a Bible away, you know, I just wasn't sure what to do. So
is it, do you know if it's a King James Bible or is it something else?
I would have to look. I didn't look that closely. I just, like I said, I forgot I even had it.
But, yeah. Well, you might look, you might look at John 3:16, see how it reads in there, because that's the fundamental basis for Christianity, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That is really the foundational stone of our Christian faith. And if that's been altered, tampered with, or whatever, That's something worthwhile looking at, but it very well could be. I'm not that familiar with it. So, Wendy, I think the best thing you could do is just do a little research there. Look and see, is it, an untampered with King James Bible, or has it been altered? So I think that would tell you, if it's been altered, that's where I would have a problem, because if the Lord tarries and we go to be with the Lord and our friends and families are left behind and they come across that, I wouldn't want them to read something that's been altered or tampered with, thinking that that's God's word. And so that's where I would throw it away. However, but if it's just something that has your name on it, I don't know. Darrell, any thoughts on that?
Well, I was just doing a little research while we were having our conversation here, and I found out this. When a Christian takes the oath of Freemasonry, according to them, he is swearing to the following doctrines that God has pronounced false, according to the Bible. Number one, they will take an oath to salvation can be gained by man's good works, which is absolutely false. We're saved by the grace of God, justified by the blood of Christ. Number two, Jesus is just one of many equally wise prophets. No, Jesus is the Son of God. He's Emmanuel. He's God incarnate. He's the highest of the highest. And number three, he approaches the lodge in spiritual darkness and ignorance. The Bible says Christians are children of the light. Number four, last one, the great or grand architect of the universe is representative of all gods in all religions. So this is their belief systems that they have as Freemasons. We don't want anything to be a part of. We do not want to be a part of this. And thus, we need to make sure we stay in the Word of God, follow the teachings, the sound doctrine of the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the blood atonement for salvation, justification by faith, and regeneration by the power of the Holy Spirit. These are the doctrines of the Christian faith. Thus, we must follow. So may that help you out, my dear. And thank you for bringing up the topic. It's great. Mike, I'll give it back to
Wendy,
you.
Yeah, Wendy, I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you so much. I just went and dug it out. I'm going to look through it, and I'm not too happy with some things I'm seeing. But anyway, I will do some research, and I very much appreciate your time. So thank you. Well,
Wendy, Merry Christmas to you, and let us know what you find out. I'd like to know myself. Stay in line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll enjoy. With that, we'll go to Alicia. Again, 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. Alicia, Washington. Hi, welcome.
Hi, I'm so excited to be on here.
We're excited to have you on. How are you and how can we help?
Hi, I'm really good. I did just come from the dentist, so I'm still numb. So if I don't speak clearly, I'm sorry. hey, so... Yeah, so I have a close friend. She's a newer Christian. So I grew up in the church. You know, my faith is solid. But my friend, she's been kind of a Christian about 3 or 4 years. She's coming up with some things lately that I'm kind of not sure if she was ever truly converted. She has decided that she doesn't believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. She doesn't believe the account of creation in Genesis is true. Different things like that. And she started telling me recently that she thinks that, you know, Christianity was created by the Catholics and the Vatican, and that they have like this underground, I don't know, archive of books and scrolls and emerald tablets and whatever. And she thinks that that's the truth. And so I guess, I don't know, my question is how, you know, all the truths I try to speak to her, they're biblically based, but she doesn't believe the Bible. So how do I approach that? What can I recommend to her, you know, other than just praying for her?
Well, my first question would be, obviously, where is she getting her source? Somebody is teaching her wrong. And that's the number one thing that I would go for, because something has really gone off. If she started off believing right, and now you're finding all this crazy, weird ideas and bad doctrine, there's usually a source for it. And that's the thing that I would want to find out from her, so that it can be debunked. Because I don't believe she's coming up with this stuff on her own. Somebody's coaching her. Your thoughts, Darrell?
I agree 100%, Mike. Find out the source and discover. Is, you know, so many times you have all these conspiracy theories, whether it be in politics or about religion or about the Bible itself. And this is where what happens. These conspiracy theories are spoken of. They're regurgitated by others, And then all of a sudden people keep watching it over and over again, pretty soon they're being brainwashed in the wrong direction. The Bible declares that we're to study the word of God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We study it. I don't think she studied the Bible. She doesn't understand the Bible. She doesn't understand the historicity of the Bible. The Roman Catholic Church came about 400 years after Christ, right? About 350. AD. And thus, the books of the Bible were all written way before all this. So to say the Roman Catholic Church produced the Bible is false. They are all written by we have the New Testament, by the apostles, by the Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then you have the book of Acts, the history of the early church. And then you have the epistles, which give us instructions on how we're to act and what we're to do within the church itself and our own personal lives. Then you have the Old Testament, of course, have been canonized as inspired books of the Bible, and then going back to Genesis and so forth. It sounds like you got to take one topic at a time, possibly in regards to, number one, how can we trust the Bible? That would be number one, and show her how to trust the Bible. I know years ago, a gentleman wrote two volumes, very large volumes. They're called Evidence of a Man's Verdict by Josh McDowell. He did an excellent job in improving the authenticity of the Bible, the authority of the Bible, the inerrancy of the Bible. And there's many other books out there right now that you can probably look up and share with her, and then challenge her and say, you know, this, we're dealing with your eternal salvation. You're gambling with it right now. And we want to just share with you that you need to come to Christ and come to his word and believe in who he is and what he's done. And you need to make sure that, you know, what you're learning, this conspiracy that you're learning is absolute truth. And it's not truth. It's false. You know, the one thing about the Bible that separates it from so many other books, there's two things, actually. One is it's the only religion, or one may say truth, that offers us absolute forgiveness. You don't earn your way to heaven. You don't do good works to heaven. All of the religions say you got to do all these things, follow our things, and then you'll finally get saved as you work your way to heaven. Salvation is a free gift of God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We're saved by the grace of God. The second aspect of the Bible is this. It is a book of prophecies. Tells the future. Very important. The only religious book in the world that tells the future. Jesus, when his first coming, he fulfilled 456 of these prophecies. In his second coming, he fulfilled anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 more of these prophecies as we study the scriptures. And this is what makes the Bible authentic and without error, is Bible prophecy. And that's why Peter writes, we have the word of prophecy that is a light in the dark place, and is of no private interpretation, but men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is powerful. But it sounds like she's being brainwashed by some internet site or sites, and sounds like she needs a good new believers course is what she needs to study the word of God. I know Mike has a little booklet that would probably help her out too. So I'll give it back to you, Mike.
Yeah, and I'll be glad to get that to you for her, because like I say, she's not coming up with this stuff on her own. Somebody is teaching her wrong. And so if you can find out who that is, Alicia, I think that's really going to make a lot of difference in able to address what other things this person or persons or organization is telling her. Because again, you'll find that usually a person is not just off in one area, they're off in many areas. When the spirit of error is working, it works in many different ways. So Alicia, does that help?
Yeah, it does help. The problem, like with her, is she is so intelligent, you know, and so smart and like factual and proper that, like, you know, I have told her, you know, all these things like you're saying about the inerrancy of the Bible and all of that. But she's just choosing not to believe it. And she is following all these, YouTube and just random people on the internet. But she's taking everything except for the Bible to be truth because she doesn't like what the Bible says.
Well, that's the way it always is. You want to rewrite the Bible to suit your own belief. That's what most cults do. So this is one of the great problems. Now, I'd like to send you a copy of a little book. You heard Daryl mentioned Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Danny Lehman, who used to head up YWAM in Kona, wrote a really great book called How Can We Know? And it's a condensed, almost a very small book, like a paperback kind of thing. How can we know? And it covers the same basic topics that Evidence That Demands a Verdict, only it's not as big as an LA phone book. And I think it would be really good if I can get one of those into your hands, that you could get one of those into her hands, and just saying, hey, being you're such an intellectual, why don't you read this and tell me what's wrong with it? And I think if she reads it objectively, the Holy Spirit will minister to her. Because again, if you're trying to find something wrong with the book, you'll oftentimes find that it's telling you the truth. And so, Alicia, I'll get those out to you, as well as a little book called Time to Grow, which I think will help her as well. The movie Jesus, based on the book of Luke, and 101 Last Days Prophecies. And that's the other part that makes the Bible amazingly true, is all the other religious books of the world all lack prophecy. However, the Bible is one-third prophecies, and two-thirds of those prophecies have already come true, predicting Jesus Christ that would come to the world, who he is, how we would know him, how we could identify him. And then we find the last a little bit of prophecy having to deal with God's great judgment upon the world, called the tribulation period. And then also going beyond that, where we're all going to spend eternity in the New Jerusalem. So all these things are so important. I'll get those out to you if you'll stay on the line, okay?
Mike, if I could add one last thing. If I could add one last little tidbit for you. You go to, have her go to Answers in Genesis. It talks about the creation, the record of creation, the evidence of creation, and I think it'd be a great blessing if she's willing to learn, to grow, and to study. So Answers in Genesis is the website, and they've done a phenomenal job on bringing forth the evidence that we haven't evolved over millions and billions of years, but actually God is our creator, six-day creation, and the evidence of all the historical and geological and evidence that's there for one to consume and to learn and to grow in. So, you know, it's sad, you know, people say they're intellectual, but they only gravitate towards one aspect of their learning instead of getting a full understanding, which debunks these false teachings and so forth, and these false ideas. So that might be another helpful place to go to for her. God bless.
Yeah, stay online, Alicia. We'll get you taken care of, okay?
Okay, thank you.
God bless you. If you need us, we're here for you, and be glad to answer any other questions. Again, it would be really interesting to see what is the primary influencer in her skewed doctrinal beliefs, and that can be addressed. So stay online. We'll get you taken care of. You got our number. Call us whenever you need to. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call. We're going to go to Gail in Reardon, Washington. Hi, welcome.
Hi, pastors. Thank you for taking my call. I have two questions. Go ahead.
How may we help?
Well, I have two questions. The first one is related to 1 Thessalonians 4:15-17, where it talks about when Jesus is coming back in the clouds, and it talks about the people who have fallen asleep, they will precede us. Who are those people? Are those people after Christ has been crucified, or does that to include the Old Testament?
Okay. Daryl, your thoughts.
Well, when we talk about those who will precede us, it is those saints that will be transformed, and they will be taken up to be with the Lord. All saints that have died, they're being held in what's called Abraham's bosom. Every saint that there is that has died will then be transformed. Their body will be transformed. They'll get their glorified body. It'll go up. That's why the Bible uses the term those that have slept. It doesn't say those who are dead, those who have slept, because they're going to get a brand new body. They're already in heaven to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, and they're going to be in heaven, and they're going to get this glorified body. Now, we need these glorified bodies that are made for the heavens and the earth, because we're going to be returning with the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth as the bride of Christ, and we're going to reign and rule with him for 1,000 years. So this is what's going to happen. This transformation will take place of all those who've died in faith, and they'll get their glorified bodies, and then we're going to return to the Lord, and we're going to do a work for 1,000 years on this earth for all the people who did not take the mark of the beast. The sheep, they're allowed to come into the 1,000-year reign of Christ. They endured the tribulation, they made it through, And now they're going to, they didn't take the mark of the beast. Now they're going to go to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. So those are the ones that will precede us. They'll be taken up immediately. And then all of a sudden the Lord will call us that are believers alive on earth. We'll then go up and also receive our glorified body. And the Bible says we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And it says that we're going to be transformed in 1 Corinthians 15. It says we'll be transformed in a moment of time. The word moment is atom, an atom of time. It's atomo in the Greek, atomo of time. And it's going to be probably faster than a split second. It's a twinkling of an eye moment, not a wink. So that's what's going to take place. Mike, I'll give it over to you.
Amen. And so does that answer it for you?
It does, but it leads me to my next question. So
all right.
Abraham's bosom, are they being held in Abraham's bosom until Jesus returns?
No. Let's look at this.
Okay.
Now, going back to the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats could only cover the sin. It could not remove the sin. Like throwing a sheet over a grand piano in your living room when you're painting. It doesn't remove it. It just covers it. Well, because God will not allow sin in his presence, they all went to a place called Abraham's bosom, awaiting the great sacrifice that would be made that would not only cover their sins, but take their sins away. And that was in Jesus Christ. The Bible says when Jesus died, he preached to those in captivity, speaking of Abraham's bosom. And then it says he led captivity captive. In other words, he took them out. The supreme sacrifice has been made. And no one goes to Abraham's bosom anymore because the supreme sacrifice, Jesus, died on the cross for our sins. So understanding that then, no one goes to Abraham's bosom anymore. Now, however, they still go to the torment side of Sheol. We use the word hell, but that's not the eternal lake of fire. And we're going to talk a whole lot more about this on the other side of the break, because I think everybody needs to understand our works follow us, good and bad. We'll be right back.
It's so easy to politicize abortion. But the reality is, there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
If you are 65 or older, you know this, inflation is hitting everyone hard right now, especially when it comes to healthcare. Over the last 10 years, healthcare costs have skyrocketed by, get this, 230%. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are still out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and copayments, and they really add up. But here's some good news. MediShare 65 Plus is designed to fill in those gaps and help protect you from rising healthcare costs. At only $99 per month up to age 75, you get peace of mind at a price you can afford. And MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around 30 years. It's not some big impersonal thing. It's a community of people helping each other, business owners, pastors, retirees. People love it. MediShare 65 Plus just makes sense. To learn more, give them a call. They're great to talk to. They'll offer to pray with you each time you call, too. Call now. 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
Part two of Every Man Answer here on this Wednesday afternoon with Daryl Skinner. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. And again, when we went to the break, we were speaking with Gail about those who died in faith that have gone before us. And then also the ungodly, what happens to them? Now, it is interesting that the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennial reign of Christ, the books are open and everybody is judged according to their works. And then there, those who are not found written in the book of life are cast in the lake of fire, which burns forever. Now, there are groups around today that say, well, hell is just annihilation. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Again, if you go to the book of Jude, it says they will bear the everlasting torment of eternal fire. That is not annihilation. And so understanding then that when we die, our works follow us. If you're a Christian, the great things you did for the Lord continue to bless people long after you're in heaven. That's why I believe it's so important. Parents make a good investment in their children. And what we do here on this earth now. But then again, think about those that are evil, who put evil into motion. We look at the people that started a cult. Maybe there was only a couple dozen when it was started. Now there's millions of people deceived. Think about the people who teach evolution completely knowing it's false. There's no DNA evidence for any of the stuff they're teaching. There's no transitory life forms or transitional life form where a horse turns into a giraffe. There should be millions of them alive right now, everything transitioning into something else. And the fossil record should be full of this kind of evidence. It's not there. So it's made up. And they know that. And in fact, Darwin, which is rarely ever taught in the schools, said the problem with his theory is that there were no transitional life forms living or fossilized. So even he admitted that there was major problems with his ideas. So the problem is, going back to this, when a person dies as a believer, before Christ, they went to Abraham's bosom, awaiting the supreme sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Those that died outside of faith, they go to a place called Sheol, the torment side, where the rich man went, that Jesus talked about. And so from the beginning of time, going clear back to probably Cain, and clear up to now, and even during the millennial reign of Christ, the people that die go to this place awaiting the great white throne judgment when all their works have come to full fruition. That's when they're going to be judged for what they've done. And again, not being found in the Lamb's Book of Life, cast in the lake of fire that burns forever. I believe that is so, so important. Now, your thoughts, Darrell.
Yeah, it's very important that we realize that those of the Old Testament, such as Abel, beginning at Abel and so forth, he was the first one that was killed in faith. They went to a place of Abraham's, we call it commonly Abraham's bosom. It was a place of comfort, a place of paradise. And those were all believers of the Old Testament would go that died. And all people that died up to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and then the ascension of Christ. Everybody that died at that point in time would go to Abraham, we call it Abraham's bosom or a place of paradise. Now, as believers, after the ascension of Christ and so forth, as believers, when we die as a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Even Paul the Apostle, he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe it is, that he was caught up to paradise. And then because he was stoned to death in the book of Acts, there was a moment in time, and then he was brought back to life. And he says, I was caught up to paradise. Speaking of heaven, heaven is called paradise also. He was caught up to heaven, to paradise, and he heard things that are absolutely inexpressible. And this is the great hope and the assurance of hope and the beauty and the greatness of heaven that we get to look forward to as believers. We want to share this, especially this Christmas time and always, about the great love of God, about the great salvation in Jesus Christ, about the beauty of eternal life in heaven and what we're going to receive forever and ever and ever. And we will get that glorified body. Paul writes about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is going to be joyful and filled with the mind. We're going to be filled with the mind of Christ. It's going to be, I don't know. Can we find a word to describe perfection? And you never get old. You never get wrinkled. You never, hair doesn't fall out. You never get ill. There's no aches and pains in your joints. You have a perfectly young body forever and ever. And the good news also for us men especially is we get to eat because the Bible says we're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I think heaven is designed for women because it says the foundation stones of the New Jerusalem It is filled with all these diamonds and rubies and gems and so forth. They're going to be gorgeous. So we both make out forever and ever. But most of all, we'll be married to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bridegroom, we are the bride, and he will, wherever he is, he will always be with us. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And what other person we'd rather be with forever than him? Mike?
Amen. So, Gail, does that answer your question? Did you have another question?
No, that's it. Yes, you answered perfectly. I understand it all now. Thank you. And thank you so much for your program. It is such a blessing.
Well, God is good, dear. And again, we don't claim to know everything, but we have been through the Bible many times. And we're not here to represent a church's denomination's dogma. We're here to tell you what the Bible says. And so to give you a balanced answer on that. And so, again, when we want to do the very best job we can for God, we want to give you what the Bible says. And again, there is a great judgment for the ungodly called the White Throne Judgment at the end of all time. Now, when the rapture comes, the dead in Christ receive their new bodies. Are we who are alive and repaid, Paul says, will be transformed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. We're all caught up to be with him together in the air. I believe that again, we will stand before the Bema Seat judgment of Christ. Now, the Bible says we all stand before the judgment seat of God. We all do. Some for everlasting reward, some for everlasting condemnation. The Bema Seat judgment of Christ, where we as believers stand before, will be rewarded for what we did for the right reason. The wood, the hay, the stubble, it burns up. But the things that were done, even a cup of cold water in his name, bears a reward. So it is possible to do things, even as a Christian, for the wrong motive. In other words, you know, the offering basket comes by and we're going to drop a $100 bill in. But before we do, we hold it up over our heads and flitter it around and then drop it in. Everybody goes, ooh, well, you got your reward, the Bible says. But the things that God sees in secret, he'll reward us openly for. And I believe that, again, there are many things that oftentimes people do. Well, you know, I joined the choir because, man, there's this really cute girl there, and I want to get to meet her. Well, your motive for singing the choir is wrong. It's not to worship God. It's to make moves. And these are the problems that sometimes even we as Christians so we have to continually pray that our motives are right. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Gail, I hope that answers it for you.
Thank you. God bless.
You too. Stay online if you like and send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll enjoy. Now, again, 8888, ask CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. But before we go back to the phones, I spoke recently at a Christian high school in Kiau, Hawaii, right outside of Hilo. And I did basically a to every man an answer there at this high school. And they gave me a whole handful of questions. If you're watching on the internet right now, I'll hold them up and show you that these things are full of questions. And so I just thought I would kind of just share with some of these with you. Again, 8888, ask CSN's the number to call. But I'll put these out to you, Daryl. Question number one, is it okay to marry someone who does not believe in God and refuses to believe? Your thoughts?
Well, no, because we're told in Corinthians that it's not right for us to be unequally yoked to non-believers. You are to marry a believer. You're to be finding someone who believes what you believe in Jesus Christ and the Bible. And one thing is, especially as young people, as people get enthralled with each other, it could be the personality, it could be their riches, it could be their beauty, whatever it might be. Don't get enthralled with their character. Is it Christ's character? Does he know Jesus Christ? Does she know Jesus Christ? Will they go to church without you? Will they pray without you? Will they read the Word of God without you and so forth? Because there's many wolves in sheep's clothing. I think you were alluding to that a little earlier there, Mike. And there's many wolves in sheep's clothing. and you have to be married to someone. It's a lifetime decision. There's two very important decisions you make. The first one that's most important is coming to Christ for salvation. The second one is going to be the person that you marry. So as you get married, you want to have a lifelong life of living in the faith for the Lord as God has displayed it for you, to have the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the meekness, the goodness, the temperance, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, righteousness, goodness, and truth, as the Bible declares. And you want to be blessed of the Lord. So as you are looking for someone to marry, you need to marry a Christian. Light and darkness do not mix, and it's important that we realize this. And this is spoken of in Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe. So it's important that we realize this as born-again believers. And so, you know, God does not want us to. Now, let me explain one last thing. If you're already married to a non-believer, then you focus in that they are your mission field. You're going to win them to Christ by what you do, by what you say, how you love them, how you represent Christ. You go to church, you're going to grow in God's word, you're going to pray, and they're going to see this example. They may get upset with you, but it's okay. There's the persecution that takes place, yes, even in marriages in regards to Jesus, but you got to keep consistency with your faith in Christ, and you're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit for that person, and they're your mission field. So I don't want to be, some people think, oh, should I divorce this person since they're not saved? No, you don't divorce. You want to stay with them and win them to Christ. Mike?
Amen. Amen. So a lot of questions here from time to time. I'll bring some of these up because,
great question.
Some of them are pretty incredible. One of the girls, her name is Tatiana, wrote all kinds of questions that I think so many young people today, especially in junior high, high school, are faced with in the culture they're in. If you're older, we came actually from a different culture than many of the kids are subject to today through what they see on in the movies, television, words in the songs on the radio. All these different things, I believe, are very, very influential, unfortunately, influencing people the wrong way. So it's something that we want to take a look at. So, okay, one more. I was just told, let's do one more. Okay. Here's a question. Has God made life anywhere else? Daryl, your thoughts.
There's no evidence thereof. What we have in the Holy Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, this is the life that God has created. He created us to have fellowship with him so he can love us and we can love him. And Jesus, of course, sums it up in the two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. God has not given us any evidence that there's life on other planets. This is the perfect planet, placed in a perfect place, just so far away from the sun that we don't freeze up and not too, rather not too close that we don't burn up and not too far away that we don't freeze up. We're right in a perfect atmosphere. God has created all things. He's a masterful artist. He gives us so much beauty in his creation. And most of all, he created each and every one of us to worship and to reason and to love and to have that freedom of choice, what we want to do with our lives. There's no better life than living for Jesus. He's saved us. He's changed us. He blesses us, and he will take care of us forever and ever. He is the way to eternal life. He says, I'm the way to the Father. There's no other way. And so we realize that in him is this blessed life that we have as born-again believers. And I can guarantee you from the many, many, many years that I've been a Christian, what a wonderful life God has given me. I know what it is to be a heathen, and I know what it is to be saved. And God is so good. He's so good to all of us, and it's going to be forever and ever and ever. So this is the beauty of God's creation and the way he's made all things. I really scratch my head at those who believe in evolution, that from a Big Bang, that all of a sudden there's this perfect orbiting galaxy, and all of a sudden there's this perfect planet Earth with all of its seasons and with all of its rain and osmosis and all the things take place. Then the human body and all the systems that are working together, even while we sleep, the circulatory system, the nervous system, the neurological systems, all this working together, and this all evolved. This was just a big cosmic accident that took place. That's craziness. It's a fairy tale. It's those who do not want God. But as we've come to Christ, we know him well. He has saved us. And you know, the born-again experience is fabulous. The moment you say that sinner's prayer, you feel this weight has been removed. The weight of guilt and sin has been removed, because it has. A supernatural event is taking place within your heart, within your soul, within your mind, within your whole life. And you're born again now of the Holy Spirit. And now God is directing your steps, and he's guiding your life, and he drives you into the Word of God to grow and to learn your faith and to be a blessed person. So, anyway, I can ramble on and on, but I'll give back to
Amen.
You, Mike.
Amen. Great question. And actually, on those papers, I've got about 45 questions to Great. Ask. And so from time to time, we'll bring those up. Let's go to Marcy, La Grande, Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hello. Hi, thank you, guys. I'm going to go just right into my question. I've been kind of like meditating on Romans 8:28. And I actually have another question, and actually maybe I should go here first. I've kind of been like wayward, and you're gonna have to excuse me. I might ramble. I'm a little nervous, but you know, God's calling me to be courageous today, so here I am.
I'm so glad.
And thank you. Yeah. I'm really drawing close to God, and I've been so convicted and just so blessed by one, the Holy Spirit, and please just bear with me. I've been reading D.L. Moody's Secret Power, which is all about the Holy Spirit, and it's just been like so revelational to me that like there's the Old Testament, right? There's the New Testament, and like we're like living the Testament of Revelation, and like we're the generation like who has the Holy Spirit like no other. Although I'm sure there are pieces in the Bible like David, there was a verse about David that was just like really descriptive. I think it's when he got anointed as king, descriptive of God's power over him, like dressed. I've been getting some like just beautiful, just so much blessing reading the Passion Translation Bible, and so I'm kind of curious about your thoughts on it, I know there's some like discrepancies, do you think it's possible that, you know, he's still blessing us through that word?
Well, it's a paraphrase, dear. It's a paraphrase, like the Living Bible is. If you're going to do an actual word-to-word study, I think there's going to be difficulties there. But a general overview. Now, a lot of these new versions are based upon the Alexandrian text. And the Alexandrian texts are real troublesome. There's over 5,000 deletions or additions in the Alexandrian text that were not in the received text or Textus Receptus. And this is some real problems. And we know absolutely that the Alexandrian texts are horribly flawed. And here's why they're flawed. The book of Mark, chapter 16, just ends without the resurrection of Christ or anything else. The people who were in charge of putting together the Alexandrian text were Gnostics, and they had real trouble with Jesus Christ, him and his divinity. And so you find these things. So what I tell people, as an example, if you're reading something, then you want to compare it. I would always compare it to the King James, because the King James Bible was based solely upon the Textus Receptus from Antioch, where Paul had his headquarters. Now, I think this is real important. Well, they say, the Alexandrian texts are older. Well, yeah, but that didn't make them accurate because of the tampering with by the Gnostics. So there's issues there that we have. In fact, we're going to try to get up here on the CSN website here in the next week or so, where you can actually go and listen why we have all these different versions of the Bible and where the problems lie in them, and why you find the gospel being changed. Remember, this is what Satan did to Eve. You shall not surely die. And all the way through, you always find the devil tampering with God's word. And so this is where one of the problems are. But your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't be studying or reading from the Passion Bible. It's part of the New Apostolic Reformation movement. And there aren't any new apostles today. We have the original apostles. That's all we need. It's also a very, it's written by Brian Simmons, and it's his own personal way of interpreting the Bible and translating it. The Bible has existed for thousands of years. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to change it. We don't need to water it down. We just need it, period. And that the Bible says to study the word of God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I said that before. And it's important that we do that. We study, but you got to study the original. You don't study something that kind of like the original. You study the original. And I would encourage you, my dear, to go to the King James Version of the Bible, grab it, and just start studying from that. You don't need someone's private interpretation of what they think the Bible says. And this is what Brian Simmons has done. And it's wrong, and we need to stay away from it. That's my feeling in regards to this, because I'd much rather be spending my time in the original than messing around with something that's artificial. So that's what I would do. And he takes a lot of liberty in the way he translates things, just trying to put in some type of modern vernacular that he thinks is going to relate better to people. Now, God relates to all people through the original word, and we need the original word, because it brings us truth, and that's the most important thing. Truth is so vitally important in these days of great deception, and it doesn't matter who this person is. If they're not following the Word of God, verse by verse, book by book, Genesis to Revelation, we're going to have a problem, and I would stay away from it and realize, just go to the original. You're good to go there. Mike?
Yeah, and if you're drawing from the Alexandrian text and then reinterpreting the Alexandrian text, you got some real problems. You're getting farther and farther away. And so, you know, Marcy, there's some good books. I think the New King James Bible is at least better than those, and it reads modern today. But when you're reading somebody's paraphrase, I think that can be a little dangerous in really getting the pure word of God. And that's what we live for anyway. Hope that helps.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, great insight. I cross-reference. I also have my King James out. And I also like to use why is it not coming to me? The Amplified Bible. There's a great amp, and I just love getting like the elaborate detail and like of the words and stuff. And yeah, I get what you're saying about the paraphrase. What I think I'm understanding, I'm not super familiar with the Alexandrian text, and like but what I think you're saying is that like the text that we have drawn from the King James from. Those are like from the scrolls and it seems that those transcripts were really protected and like kind of treated as holy. Whereas I see what you're saying, like it's the Alexandrian, there's a lot that has been lost in translation and it can be deceptive. Yeah. So I don't know if you could take my other question.
Sure, if you hurry.
Yeah. Okay. So, Romans 8:8. All good things come to those who love God and who have been called according to His purposes. And I'm wondering because you know if we love God, like obviously we're called to His purposes. So is this verse also saying that all good things? For those who are called according to His purposes, who do not know Him yet, or you know, who haven't experienced His love.
Well, certainly, I believe God arranges people's lives to know Him. Your thoughts, Daryl?
You know, all things work together for good to those who love God, are called according to His purposes. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. In other words, ultimately, all things will work together for good. Ultimately, we're all as believers are going to be found in heaven. Everything we've done and these good works and everything that takes place will ultimately bring us to that place of heaven, which is the best place we could ever be. All things work together for good. Now, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. There's going to be persecution and heartache. In this world, you're going to have disease and death, and we're subject to all these things. So it's important for us to live for the Lord, serve the Lord, but all things will ultimately work together for good. Amen. Mike?
Yeah, and again, the secret in understanding that according to his purpose, again, and that's what God always wrestles with in all of us as Christians, his way or my way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Stay on the line, Marcy. I'll send you out some books, some DVDs. Luke, the rest, calls back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Thanks, Daryl. Good night.
To find out about ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.